All right, well, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. And I will tell you guys, for those of y'all that are live streaming the show, there's going to be some pictures on the screen here at some point. This is going to be me discussing some things that I experienced personally in Baghdad. And I want you guys to see the images of what I'm talking about. So if you're live streaming, just be aware there will be some imagery up on the screen here periodically throughout my monologue. But I'll tell you too, attorney Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. Stan McDonald, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in Alabama, a longtime Right Side ruffian, and oh, by the way, the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. Okay, so yesterday I spent a great deal of time talking about peace through strength, right? The idea that having a more robust, capable, well-trained military, we could actually deter our enemies without even having to fire a shot, hopefully. I mean, simply because our enemies knew that firing shots is something the U.S. military could do extremely well, and they don't want us to do that. Let me give you a smaller version of peace through strength. Picture this. There's a tendency for criminals to prey on the weak. There just is. You're walking out of a Walmart into a dark parking lot with a cart full of goods, and if you're slumped over your basket staring at your cell phone, paying no attention to your surroundings while you amble your way to your car, bad guys are going to spot you from a distance, and they're going to see you as an easy prey. If you walk out that same door into that same parking lot and you've parked under the lights and your head is up on a swivel and you're taking in your surroundings and you look like you fully intend to be a person who might resist, guess what? Your odds of getting mugged are decreased dramatically by your strength. All you did was project strength. It's no different on the world stage. I mean, literally, picture the world as a dark Walmart parking lot. The U.S. needs to walk with its head up looking like a hard target. Having said that, though, there are some preparations, some things you can do. There are some supplies, some materiel, if you will, some weapon systems. And we've got to spend our time and resources giving our troops the absolute best in order to be the biggest dog on the block. I agree with Secretary of Defense Hegseth. No more electric tanks. No more climate change alarmism. No more DEI in uniform. Give them what they need to be the biggest, baddest dog on the block. Now, before I get into that a little more, let me just say this. I used to do a lot of backpacking back in the day. I love the outdoors. To me, one of the richest times in life is sitting with friends around a campfire after a solid day's hike. My favorite is actually winter backpacking, and I've been out in some ice storms that have rocked our world. I've been above the tree line in the Rockies. I've spent time in the Smokies and along the lower Appalachian Trail. With winter backpacking, it's different. The temperatures, the threats of inclement weather, they mean you have to carry more stuff. And you get into that fine line of how much to carry, knowing you don't want to freeze to death, but then again, you don't want to carry so much you create a different kind of misery because you're carrying too much weight. Me personally, I'm a big guy, so I usually erred on the side of carrying just one more thing. And yes, sometimes it was hard, but, you know, having had frostbite before in my military days, I was determined not to be in that position again. So my rule, and yes, it was a rule, my rule, and I used to say it all the time, was you can always take off what you don't need, but you can't put on what you don't have. That's a good rule. Dry socks, an extra shirt, my favorite fleece. It may take more to get those things to the campsite, but once you're there, they make everything better. You can't take off what you don't. You can take off what you don't need, but you can't put on what you don't have. Look, I also know what it means, though, to go without. I know what it means to be in a hard place doing hard things without the right gear. It ain't good. In 2004, I was in Baghdad during the era of soft-sided Humvees. Look, I got to tell you, there is zero protection from a canvas door, I assure you. All the canvas doors did was keep the dust and the sun directly off of us. Nothing more. My team was initially task organized under an infantry battalion of the 1st Armored Division, and they all drove soft-sided vehicles. And we began to branch out and have to hire local Iraqi labor to cut steel and hang them on the hinges, except the steel was too heavy for the hinges, and the hinges had a tendency to break off, so we had to put reinforced hinges on. And they also had no glass. They were just steel half doors, but it still felt better. And then we contracted with local labor to big old steel shells for the truck beds of some of our Humvees. And then we scrounged up some Kevlar mats, and we hung them on the outside of the vehicle for extra protection. And then we realized the undercarriage was thin protection, so we lined the floors with sandbags, which was all cool, but it also overwhelmed the suspension, and the Humvees would literally drive around with their noses pointed up in the air because of the weight on the rear. And I'm just telling you, we had to beef up the suspensions, and by the time we got things all steeled up, it looked like a bunch of vehicles from Mad Max. Now, JP is going to put a picture up of one of our armored gun trucks right now. And this is one of the ones I'm telling you about where we had like literally floorboards full of sandbags, extra steel casings in the back, fake doors that were added on. Everything was changed. We were doing all we can. It was so jacked up that we called them Jed Clampets. Our vehicles were called Jed Clampets after the junky old truck they drove in the Beverly Hillbillies sitcom. And that old rule about you can take off what you don't need, but you can't put on what you don't have, was getting some serious use. And that rule is true. We couldn't put on any more, but we also just didn't have enough of what we needed. All right, then came a changeover. The 1st Armored Division transitioned out of our battle space, and my team was then assigned to an infantry battalion under the 1st Cavalry Division. Every one of those Muldoons came to town in a brand new up-armored Humvee complete with ballistic glass, hardened body shells, and reinforced suspensions, and of all things, they even had air conditioning. And they were fast. I mean, like, they felt like Porsche fast. Our Jed Clampets looked pretty sad next to those armored Cadillacs. But back at home, my sweet wife, the lovely Charlene, was praying. She was literally praying that God was going to put me in an armored vehicle. Somehow she knew the deal. She also knew what was available, and she was praying like only a military spouse knows how to pray. Literally praying, Lord, bless Phil with an armored vehicle. So one day on our FOB, maybe a month after the new battalion took over, I was in the battalion talk, and the XO hollered at me to come to his office. The guy's name was Major Ed Tangy, a really good guy from Oregon. So I headed down the hall and came in to see him. He asked me a few questions about my team's operations. He asked about the level of effort we were applying to do things for the battalion. He also asked where we'd been most recently, and then he seemed actually kind of surprised to hear how often my team went outside the wire. Little did I know that within his battalion, the battalion I was with, which I considered to be my battalion, the line companies actually rotated their time off the FOB, but the XO looked at me and said, "But you guys, you roll outside the gate pretty much every single day." "Roger that," I said. And then you could have knocked me down with a feather when he said this. He said, "Well, then I'm giving you my up-armored Humvee." I kid you not. We couldn't put any more rigged up homespun fake armor on our old Jed Clampets, but now we didn't have to. The XO treated us like one of his own. He gave us his personal armored vehicle. My call sign was Titan 6, so I sprayed the Tennessee Titans logo on the vehicle for good measure. JP's putting that picture up right now. That's a picture of me in Baghdad leaning against the back of our new up-armored Humvee with the Titans logo painted on it. Soon thereafter, I also sent Charlene a picture of me standing in front of my new fancy up-armored Humvee holding a sign that said, "Happy Mother's Day." It was the best Mother's Day gift I could have sent her. And honestly, a few weeks later, when a massive car bomb, a VBID, went off next to my convoy, I was doubly glad to have it. But here's the thing, and here's why I bring all that up. That experience reinforced for me the idea that our troops should never have to be without. They shouldn't. They should not ever have to be faced with the decision of whether or not to over-modify their gear. I mean, it's one thing to buy your own holster or have a special thermal insulated long johns you want to wear, but no soldier should ever have to bet their life on subpar or, for that matter, obsolete gear. The United States has the greatest military on the face of the earth. And as a result, we have the largest military budgets in the history of ever. Our men and women deserve that. Is there waste, fraud, and abuse in the efforts made by the military-industrial complex? I am sure there is, absolutely. That's why conservatives have to step in and provide that accountability. That's why that DOGE effort is so needed. But we also have to stop wasting time spending precious defense dollars on woke ideologies, feel-good, green energy-compliant facilities, pushing to make our military vehicles compatible with the latest net-zero emissions ideologies. We cannot have young troopers who get less time on a firing range or in their combat vehicle or servicing their helicopters because it's somehow imperative that they spend precious time training and attending seminar-style briefings on the dangers of not being gender-friendly or why co-ed showers are really not a big deal. Look, we need to give the men and women who serve in the greatest military in the history of the earth all the gear and the training that they really need to fight and win, to increase both their lethality and their survivability. Stop fluffing up the budgets with unnecessary social experimentation and get back to actually training and equipping warriors. Me personally, I've seen it firsthand. Our troops can always take off what they don't need, but our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines cannot put on what they don't have. So let's make sure we give them whatever they need to be the biggest dog on the block. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.